Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Fraser Nelson. So, as the deadline all the time in which lockdown could be lifted appears to be pushed further out of sight, with reports about how we could be in lockdown in the summer still, we are hearing how the government might try and fix a few problems when it comes to the infection rate. As we've seen previously in data, compliance is very low when it comes to people actually self-isolating when they've tested positive for coronavirus. Overnight, and the splash of many front papers today, is an idea in a Department of Health paper, where it suggests that the government could give a £500 payment to people to make sure that they do self-isolate. James, this story got a lot of interest as soon as it emerged last night, and yet it's had a lot of kickback. We've heard at today's lobby briefing that Downing Street has no plans to do this, yet it is an idea that has won some support in the Department of Health and, as we believe it, with the test and trace team. So what exactly is going on here?
The concern that led to this policy is this idea that people get symptoms but don't want to get tested, because they know if they get tested, they'll be told to self-isolate for 10 days. And that would lead to a drop in their income for people who can have worked casual shifts, or but sick leave is not that in this country, is set at a fairly low level. So people would only get a sick leave payment rather than their regular salary. And so I think the idea here was that you would, by the £500 payment, you would incentivise people to go and get a COVID test. Now, I think the concern in other parts of government is that this policy would be too effective, that you would have people going out and getting tested, and people would basically think that I'm perfectly happy to run the risk of getting COVID if I think I'm going to get 500 quid. Now, I think you can say that, oh, no one would really think like that. I think the problem is that there would be a number of people who would think like that. And even if that number was small, it would still be problematic.
Fraser, what the story has exposed, I think, is tensions between certain departments, the Treasury, and other departments in the form of the Department of Health. Already we're seeing, you know, allies of Rishi Sunak, we're seeing Treasury sources, Treasury officials express bafflement at the idea, pointing out how much it would cost. I think it'd be 0.5 billion a week, potentially. And ultimately, it seems to show that we have in recent weeks, I think, seen talk of cabinet hawks and cabinet doves has disappeared as people have realised with the new variant, with vaccines on the way, got behind this lockdown. But are we seeing those tensions now resurface in how this virus ought to be tackled going forward?
Yes, it certainly does seem to be like interdepartmental war here. I mean, the document that we're talking about was got hold of by The Guardian. Other newspapers followed The Guardian stories. And it basically says this is the preferred position of a Department of Health. That's what the document says. And it's got quite extensive suggestions. I mean, one of them is that everybody gets £500. But the other one is that it would only, the £500 payment would only go to those who would earn less than, say, 24 grand a year. And there are other options, but this looks like trying to bounce the idea either in front of the Prime Minister or the Cabinet Office. Now, the Treasury is cautious, saying that we've never seen this before, we don't think it makes sense, and it would just be so incredibly expensive. But the fact that this is happening at all suggests that the level of tensions inside the government, documents like this ought not to leak. And it reminds me of the days before the second lockdown, where people were trying to push the Prime Minister into that lockdown and therefore released lots of ideas. So this is, I'm not, by the way, sure, Katie, that it's the case that we still have hawks and we still have doves in the cabinet. People are going quiet right now because it's unclear what the new variant would mean. It was unclear in January if cases were going to surge throughout this month. In fact, they've fallen pretty quickly. So I think if that picture continues to clarify, and it does look as if the corner was turned before lockdown in the New Year period, then we will start to get more robust arguments made in cabinet in favour of relaxing restrictions and keeping them going. It's certainly the case, though, that the document shows that only 17% of people with symptoms come forward to get tested for the virus. That is a very alarming figure. It doesn't suggest that the current system is working anything like it in the way it should do.
James, when it comes to those upcoming debates, which we're going to see as more people get vaccinated, and we're expecting an update on that from the Prime Minister later in his 5 p.m. press conference, what should we make at the moment of the suggestion that, you know, we could be in lockdown up until the summer? That appeared to come from a lobby briefing because the Prime Minister's spokesperson wouldn't say that we wouldn't be in lockdown by the summer. Is the sense in government that we are moving to a point where things are looking worse and worse? Or is this actually over speculation at this point?
I think part of it is the government has so often said, here's a deadline for when things will get better. And then that deadline has passed. You know, remember, substantial chunk of normality by Christmas, all those kind of things. And so I think they are reluctant to try and put a date on it. That's one thing. Then I think there is the issue that Fraser wrote about this morning, which is this concern about a vaccine-evading variant of the virus. And thirdly, I think there is a concern, which is, and this is very, very early days, but there is a concern that Israel, which has made the most progress on its vaccination program, has not seen as significant a drop-off in hospitalizations as you might have hoped for beforehand. So I mean, those three factors are combining to create this caution. But I also think that, you know, the government is not currently in a place where it's planning to put out a kind of long plan saying this is what restriction goes in April, this is what restriction goes in May. Now, you can argue that there are consequences to that. Look at the fact that the Glastonbury Festival has been cancelled. If you don't give people an idea of when things might reopen, it means that people are just going to take matters into their own hands and cancel events. But I think the government is not currently minded to set out a roadmap. I think they want to see much more evidence of how effective the vaccine is in breaking that link between cases, infections and hospitalizations.
And finally, Fraser, when we're looking at those tensions in cabinet that I think will become clearer in the coming weeks and months when those conversations get into full swing, you write in your Telegraph column today about something James has touched on too in the magazine, this idea of potentially having hotel quarantine in the style of Australia, having much tighter rules on our borders, perhaps even closing them. Where does opinion lie in terms of the government in the sense of who is in favour of this and who is questioning it?
Well, in favour of stronger borders, we've got Priti Patel, who gave a press conference last night in which she nodded to this. She was saying that we should do everything within our power to guard against a new variant. Some people took that to be a coded reference to the fact that she would like Australian-style border control with people going to hotels rather than straight home when they arrive to make sure that they don't carry the virus with them. Matt Hancock has been known to support pretty much every proposal for stricter COVID restrictions. Against it, you'd have Rishi Sunak, who very fervently believes in the idea of a globally connected Britain, is, you know, in favour of a third runway at Heathrow because it will expand our global connections. It's difficult to argue that Britain's economic future lies in a more interlinked, internationally connected country, and propose to do what Australia is doing, which is have basically closed the borders for the rest of this year. The Australian chief medical officer has been saying that he wants borders closed there until 2022. And such would be the devastating impact, he thinks, of either the first dose of COVID or a new variant. We've also had EU ministers talking about this quite a lot. They've had two video conferences this week discussing this topic, and Angela Merkel is talking about the importance of imposing the precautionary principle. So the idea for stricter border controls isn't just coming from pro-lockdown faction in the cabinet. It's an idea which is right around Europe right now. And the basic question is this: if there is a new variant which dodges the vaccine, we could be back to square one. And that gives everybody the chance to say, well, what do we wish we'd done differently this time last year? We're almost coming up to the year's anniversary of the first COVID case caught in Britain. And looking back, Boris Johnson now thinks he actually should have closed the borders. At the time, people thought, well, there was no point, the viruses are already here, so closing the borders would send a damaging signal to the rest of the world and it wouldn't do much good controlling the virus. Now, Boris is now thinking, well, actually, in retrospect, look at Australia, look at New Zealand, they closed the borders and they've had far less economic damage than Britain and far lower levels of the virus than Britain. Now, you can argue plenty against the logic of New Zealand and Australia, but what matters is that the Prime Minister is shifting that way, hence Priti Patel's boasting that she was for border controls back in March. So I do think policy is going to move in that direction. which is a shame because I think there's a really good debate we need to have about this, which we're simply not going to have, because there is still this sense of general national emergency. Now, there is certainly an emergency, but plans are being made right now for what follows that emergency. That's a discussion which I do think should be opened up a little bit more.
Thank you, Fraser. Thank you, James. And thank you for listening.